This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you with us on this Monday, the 23rd day of March. Back from the NCAA tournament in Omaha. Had some excitement while we were down there game-wise, and great atmosphere yesterday, especially with Wichita State taking on Kansas, and then Oregon giving Wisconsin a little bit better battle than many people had anticipated. Coming up on the program today, we're going to catch up with Jake LeBon of down from WIBW Sports Talk in Topeka about the atmosphere, about what it means for the state of Kansas, especially with Wichita State getting the victory yesterday and beating Big Brother and Wichita State, who has put together quite a run here. I mean, let's face it, if they don't get jobbed in their bracket selection last year and have to play Kentucky in the second round, I mean, this is a team that could have been Final Four, Final Four, and now in the Sweet 16 with a definite chance to go to the Elite Eight, although the Notre Dame game is going to be a tough one. Also, Dan Hoppen is going to join us on the show today. Dan from Husker Online, lot to cover. We'll take a look at his bracket, get a couple Husker questions in there for basketball, but we'll also talk Nebraska football as they are on a spring break now. They've got their first 2 weeks in, get some impressions from Dan, but mostly on baseball. The Huskers have now won 10 in a row and are off to a 3-0 start in league play after the sweep yesterday against Michigan 6-3. So the Huskers off to a great start, and what a week. This is a week when the schedule came out, and we talked about it, pointing it out towards all of you, the listeners, that Cal State Fullerton and Texas, two national powers coming into Lincoln. And if the weather stays nice, and it sounds like there could be a chance of rain, but temperatures, and we don't have to worry about snow and things like that, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday could be some outstanding baseball in Lincoln. And then off to Maryland the following week. Plus, you've got Creighton and UNO in the middle. So a lot of teams, the first five there that we talked about, very capable. Then you've got Creighton and UNO, who would just love to beat Nebraska. Then you go to Maryland for the preseason conference favorite in the Big Ten. So it's going to be a big, big couple of weeks here for Nebraska baseball, and we'll talk with Dan Hoppen about that. Now, the times are out in the Sweet 16, and here is what it looks like on a Thursday and on Friday for those of you that want to plan your world around which games are at which times. But here's what it looks like. Thursday, the first game will start in the Midwest Regional in Cleveland at 6:15. It'll be Wichita State taking on Notre Dame. Then Kentucky will play West Virginia. In the West Regional in Los Angeles, the first game will be Wisconsin and North Carolina at 6:47, then Xavier and Arizona. While in the Friday night games, in the South region in Houston, the first game will be Gonzaga, UCLA at 6:15, followed by Duke and Utah. And then in the East bracket, it will be a 6:35 tip-off, North Carolina State, Louisville, and Oklahoma, and Michigan State will follow. So obviously the question is, how's your bracket doing now? Now let's face it. If you had Iowa State going deep, you're probably, you were crushed on day one. But there's only one double-digit seed left alive, which is in this day and age almost unusual, especially after what happened in the second round. I wish they'd just get rid of that garbage. The first round is when everybody plays, isn't it? But nonetheless, when we had all the upsets on the opening day of the tournament, everybody was freaking out. But UCLA is the only double-digit seed that's left in the Sweet 16. You have got three of your number ones still in there. You have got your two number twos, and you've lost two number twos. And then you've got a couple of threes in there as well. So there's a chance that you could still have a pretty good bracket in there. And our leader in the Doug and Daddy Bud Light Bracket Challenge has a pretty good bracket. Mark Allen, 0017, I go by all the code names here. He is tied with Bud Jeff, but Bud Jeff had Villanova in the championship as the runner-up to Kentucky. Then you have got R. Detterding in a tie for third. He has Duke winning the national championship over Kentucky. And then Bud 1 has Wisconsin winning, but again, over Virginia. You've got quite a few guys in the top 10 that are in contention, obviously. But you've got out of those top 10, three that have either Villanova or Virginia in the championship game. So you're going to get thumped there. And you do have Wisconsin, Gonzaga. We've got one that has Gonzaga that's in the top 10. But if you can look and your Elite Eight is still alive, you're going to be in real good shape. And one of our leaders in Mark Allen has his entire Elite Eight still alive. He's got Kentucky, Duke, Arizona, Michigan State in the Final Four, North Carolina, Notre Dame, Louisville, Gonzaga, all in the Elite Eight. And he's looking really good. And again, our Gonzaga selection, T. Valu, if that's, or it could be TV, all EAU, or it could be all kinds of things. But he's got Gonzaga over Arizona in the final, Kentucky and Louisville in the Final Four, Duke, Michigan State, Notre Dame, Wisconsin in there as well. And as usual, don't look for my entry because it's way down past 300. Jimmy Langan sitting in 100th place right now, but took a major hit, obviously, with SMU going down. We talked a little bit on Friday as I was in Omaha about how some of the games played out on Thursday, but your thoughts on what happened the rest of the weekend. Love to hear from you. Give us a buzz on the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776, 888-455-3776. You can always tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 1550. And of course, you can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPN Superstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPN Superstation.com. Love to hear from you. A couple of thoughts on just the overall bracket. I don't know. You look at Kentucky, let's face it, they didn't play like a team that could make the NBA playoffs, did they? Cincinnati gave them a battle. Remember, Cincinnati lost at Nebraska, folks. And I know you can't put that on them back in December, but let's still, it happened. West Virginia and Maryland. Maryland obviously loses their best player and don't have a point guard the last 10 minutes of the game. And West Virginia kind of one of those teams. West Virginia and UCLA, remember how we said when you pick your brackets, the teams that everybody thinks either don't belong or you got your upset favorite. A lot of people love Bobby Hurley in Buffalo. Well, what happens? West Virginia wins two games. They beat Buffalo. They beat Maryland. UCLA don't belong. What do? They come in and they win two basketball games. Now, let's face it, they got some help from UAB knocking off Iowa State, so they had a much easier second game to get to the Sweet 16, and they'll be out there on the West Coast. By the way, how's Wisconsin in the West and Gonzaga in the South? Just wondering. You could definitely switch those things around. But obviously, the East is what got jumbled up. Virginia, the team that I was on, even though everybody thought they had just played a boring style of basketball, it wasn't boring that got them beat yesterday. It was stink that got them beat yesterday. They couldn't make a bucket. And let's face it, they played that bad, and Michigan State barely beat them. And I'm not going to rag on Michigan State because I like them and pick them and usually do well with them, obviously, in the tournament. And they are just maybe the best tournament team ever, because what is it? Tom Izzo is now 14-1 in the second round, the round of 32. That's the best all time. They'll play Oklahoma, and as we talked about Friday, and I said, you know what? I didn't like Oklahoma being a three seed, but that didn't mean they weren't a good basketball team. And here they are with a chance to get to the Elite Eight. I mean, who's going to win out of the East? North Carolina State, Louisville, Oklahoma, Michigan State. You got a 3, a 4, a 7, and an 8. All of a sudden, North Carolina State's odds went all the way down, although the folks in Vegas still have them at 60-1 to win the national championship. One of the Westgate Sportsbook folks says, you know what, we do have a $300 bet on them at 2,000-1. It's always hard to find that. If you're of any kind of a wagerer in Vegas, you never see anybody at 2,000-1. Makes you kind of wonder if that's just offline or offshore what the deal was. But remember, North Carolina State was 14-11, and after they lost to Wake Forest back in February, their odds to win the national title went to 2,000-1. I'd take that ticket right now. Let's see if you figure it out. $300 at 2,000-1. That's not bad. North Carolina State was 250 when the tournament began. Right now, UCLA is the longest shot at 100-1, according to the Westgate Superbook. Kentucky is even money. Arizona 5-1. Duke 6-1. Wisconsin 7-1. Then Gonzaga and Michigan State. Michigan State is a 7 seed, is at 12-1, which makes them the co-number 5 favorite. So who do you like now? If you could redo your bracket, does it change? I mean, let's face it, you got Kentucky and Arizona and Wisconsin and Duke and Gonzaga, and some of you liked Michigan State. I kind of like Louisville and Virginia, so Louisville still got a chance to move on. NC State, they should have lost to LSU on opening night, but if you get out of that first game with a squeaker, sometimes that's all it takes. So some good basketball as we get ready for the Sweet 16. Your thoughts, love to hear from you. 888-455-3776. One interesting point, and Bo Ryan last night in the press conference kind of took my question, made a point there just in an offhanded comment about the question was more like, okay, you got to get ready now for the Sweet 16. You're going out to Los Angeles, talk about that. And Bo Ryan pointed out, you know what? And how many times, let's face it, how many times as a sports fan do you get tired of hearing the student athlete get brought up? I mean, it just kind of makes you go, yes, we know your students. You don't have to tell us that. We know your athletes, and some of you are going to be one and done. But the NCAA in one region, or one way, talks about these student athletes. There was no reason to be playing basketball in Seattle at 11 o'clock Eastern time last night. There was no reason to be playing basketball in Omaha last night in a game that got over just after 9 o'clock. And then expect these kids to be in class today? Here's Bo Ryan, head coach at Wisconsin.
But it is a little bit difficult. We have the late game. They're going to send us home. We're going to get these guys in bed by 2, 3 o'clock. They have class tomorrow. We'll be off our feet tomorrow. We're not going to practice tomorrow. The other three teams that are going out to California were finished yesterday. I just find that kind of curious why this is the way it is. But I'm sure with the logistics, this is what happens. So we won't have as much preparation time as our opponent, but we'll just have to run a little faster.
Now, Bo has some very valid points. I mean, and then there's the other side where there's nothing you can do about it. Some of the guys are going to play Sunday, Thursday. That's just the way it works out. But if you don't realize, I mean, these guys flew home last night, as he said. If they're in bed by 3 or 4 and then pop up this morning to be to whatever class they go to, let's face it, they're supposed to probably have a lot of morning classes because they are practicing in the afternoon, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. But they're going to turn right around tomorrow and depart for Los Angeles because they need to be there for all the festivities Wednesday and the press conferences and the practices, just like they were if you went down and watched them at all in Omaha. And then they'll play on Thursday night. So they're going to be home for 36 hours, maybe, and then it's off to Los Angeles, which, yes, it's great to be playing in the NCAA tournament. But will that affect Wisconsin? But look, North Carolina's got to make the cross-country trip, so we'll see how things all play out. Sometimes you got to look at these long distances that the teams have to go when you go to either the West or the East, but shouldn't be too bad outside of those teams. Gonzaga traveling to Houston, UCLA traveling to Houston, those will be some other long trips. But in the Midwest, Kentucky, Notre Dame, Wichita State, that's not too terrible to get to Cleveland in the East. To get to Syracuse, you know, it's going to be a travel no matter what you got. But, North Carolina State, Louisville, Michigan State,
all in the eastern third of the country, and then Oklahoma will be traveling up there as well. I don't know. Looking at some of the spreads that are out there right now, I just want to give you a look at those. Kentucky, 13.5 over West Virginia. Wichita State's actually favored by a point over Notre Dame. Arizona, 11 over Xavier. Wisconsin, 5.5 over North Carolina. Louisville, 2.5 over North Carolina State. Michigan State, the bigger number on the seed, is a 2-point favorite over Oklahoma. Gonzaga, 8.5 over UCLA. And Duke is a 4.5-point favorite over Utah as we get ready for the Sweet 16. Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, Dan Hoppen from Husker Online. We'll also expect to catch up with Jake LeBon from WIBW Sports Talk, who runs a daily sports talk show every afternoon down there in Topeka. We'll be talking with them coming up. But right now, as you know, maybe traveling to any of the state tournaments we've had or even the basketball over the weekend, whether it's the NCAA or chasing the youngsters around, getting them to little kids' wrestling or basketball tournaments, or just out on the road for soccer or whatever the case may have been this weekend, you know that they're getting the fields cleaned out, getting ready to go, and T&L irrigation systems are showing up in more and more and more fields across not only our listening area, but across the country. They are based out of Hastings and have been there since the 1950s, and not only do they take care of every state in the United States, but over 60 countries worldwide. That's why they are like no other with T&L's hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation systems, which have superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of T&L's hydraulic design. Just a few of the reasons why you should have a T&L irrigation system in your field. Visit them online at tlirr.com or stop by your local T&L dealer. T&L, like no other. We'll be back after this.
NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of the newest rental store. Located at 2608 East 32nd Street Place, Suite C, NMC Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact NMC for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow-behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online nmcrental.com or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A 3-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
touchdown! Kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see breaks of sunshine and some developing cloudiness around the area today with an isolated chance for a shower late with a high at 60. Tonight we'll see scattered showers and thunderstorms developing with a low of 40. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now it's 41.
ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on today's program. Rolling through a Monday. We're going to have a good week as we get ready for the Sweet 16. Also, you know, I feel kind of bad. You look at, I just want to mention the Nebraska women for a minute. It seems like that was a week and a half ago, but you know, get all that time up after you lose in the Big Ten tournament. And then you come back, you play one game, you go out to South Carolina. It's Friday night while the men's tournament is going on. It's at 6:30, and it was a good, close, competitive game. But the Husker women, they fell. They lost in the game 72-69, and I wonder what the legacy of this senior class will be. I mean, Coach Conaiore talks about, you know, how much they've done and how much they've done, and they are a great bunch of gals, and they have the numbers to prove it. But I will bring it up again, and you look at the Rachel Terrio injury this year, and you add that on to it. What does it take for Nebraska's women to get over the hump? What does it take over the hump? Because let's face it, this is a team that has positioned themselves to be a top 20 team, but yet doesn't get to that Sweet 16, Elite 8 level. And maybe it's just that we're, you know, in every sport, okay, we're just waiting for the men to win a game in the NCAA tournament, right? For the women, it used to be awesome just to get into the NCAA tournament. Then they started to win a game or two. They've been dominant enough, going undefeated in a regular season and winning a Big Ten title, and in neither one of those years got as far in the postseason as their seed would say. So I wonder if there's frustration there. Yeah, you can say they played a good team in Syracuse, but still, they did not get out of the first round. Last year they lose to BYU, and I talked to Matt Coatney about it, and he is definitely a women's homer, and I love Matt, and he is going to defend the program the whole time, and he should. And he has pointed out a couple of times where Nebraska has played well. They have the one upset over Texas A&M. And then, yes, they played close against a Duke team in a Sweet 16 matchup. But you've got you've had a couple of All-Americans. I mean, it's not like you have just got that run like the men had last year with guys you've never heard of. We've heard of these gals. Some of them are Nebraska gals. You've had your Jordan Hoopers. You've had your Emily Cadys. I'm just wondering what the missing piece is, because it seems like they can go through the rigors of the regular season and the physicality now of the Big Ten and do well. But for some reason, they haven't got to, and I'm not even talking elite status, but let's face it, on the national scene, even though they have proven in the regular season that they should be talked about, the Husker women just haven't. I mean, that one game when they upset A&M, that's been it. They have been knocked off, I'm sorry, more times than upsets they've pulled. And I know some people just don't care, but when you look at the number of people that go support all the athletics at Nebraska, I think a lot of you do care, and I don't have the answer. I just wondered what, and now what are you going to have from Nebraska next year? I mean, folks, they lose four seniors, and if Terrio is back healthy, they're still going to be pretty young. We know they didn't have any depth this year. I'm a little worried that it's going to take a while to get back to this level where Nebraska can compete in the NCAA tournament and can compete for conference championships. The cupboard is not stocked. You lose this many great players and you didn't have a lot of depth. It's going to be a growing process. And who knows, maybe all these young gals on the bench, Natalie Romeo stepping up this year, playing more because she had to because of the injury. Maybe they'll surprise, but I just wonder where the program will go from here. When it gets to baseball, who saw this coming? 10 in a row? 10 in a row. Even if you're not playing the greatest teams in the world, it's still hard to win 10 in a row. And Nebraska has played some pretty good ball clubs. So we'll see. Again, this is a key stretch, and we'll talk with Dan Hoppen more about that in our next segment. And then you've got, other things that are going on with the Huskers. They're doing some good things out there. Even the softball team got off to a good start, sweeping their opponents in Michigan State to be in conference play this weekend as well. Nebraska wrestling at the national championships. You got a feel for Robert Kokesh. I mean, we all know if you're undefeated going to the postseason and can't finish it, it's got to be a kick to the gut. Robert Kokesh, just one of the most dominant wrestlers in Nebraska history, gets upset, fights back, takes third. Robert Kokesh, James Green, each finished in a third. And then T.J. Dudley finishes in eighth. Nebraska was ninth in the team scores, just a half point behind eighth place Minnesota. Ohio State captures their first ever wrestling national championship with 102 points. Iowa setting in second. And then you had Penn State sixth, the four-time defending national champion. Minnesota was setting in eighth. Then you had Michigan and Illinois 11th and 12th out of the conference. By the way, Austin Wilson from Hastings, and who wrestles for the Huskers, Dante Rodriguez, who wrestles for Iowa State from Kearney, both went 1-2 in the national tournament this past weekend. Hey folks, a lot of places say they are a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. One of the reasons why, they're outstanding flame broiled buffalo wings cooked over an open flame with your favorite sauce seared on the wing to give it that one-of-a-kind flavor. And if it's not wings that you want today, well, they offer, of course, burgers, quesadillas, salads, and, of course, great burgers as well, home-style pizzas. And there's a kid menu, great appetizers, too. You can go to the Chicken Coop twice a day for a long time and have different appetizers that you're sure to enjoy. And, of course, stop in NIT, women's basketball, NBA, NHL, and whenever the NCAA Division I men's are back on this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they invite you to come in, enjoy the games, play a little Keno, enjoy your favorite beverage. Don't forget happy hour every afternoon from 2 to 5:30. Reduce prices on appetizers, draws, and long necks as well. At the Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, a sports bar and grill that has no qualms having you in 7 days a week. And don't forget, we're not that far away from graduation and all the things that go along with planning a little party, maybe just a family reunion. Don't forget, if you need to put a large group together and have some good food and drinks and play and have fun, the Chicken Coop has their convenient party area as well. Stop in today at the Kearney Chicken Coop. We'll be back with more right after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretan Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretan Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
The
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our Midtown Mart cooler question, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Has the NCAA men's basketball tournament been more or less entertaining than previous years? Well, over the weekend, you were all on the more entertaining. Of course, you come out of that first day with the 5 1-point games. There's just a lot of intrigue, as there is every year. I think you always forget what happened the previous year, so your initial instinct is, yeah, we've had a lot of good close games. Today, we switch over to the NFL before diving back into basketball later in the week. There's talk about this with the owners' meetings going on. Should the NFL playoff system be expanded from its current 12-team format? Can't expand it without playing less games. I mean, that's my opinion. We all love football, but come on. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Give us your opinion, though. Vote now on the Midtown Mark Cooler question. Should the NFL playoff system be expanded from its current 12-team format? Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, I think if you're on the southern border of our listening area, you are going to be able to listen to our next guest, Jake LeBond from WIBW Sports Talk every afternoon. And he, of course, was in Omaha watching not only the Shockers and the Jayhawks, but all of the action that was going on, and Jake takes a little time to join us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jake, how's it going? How was the trip home?
It wasn't too bad. Got home about midnight last night. But fun weekend basketball. Everybody loves the NCAA tournament. Even though you have to work long hours, it's still a good time.
Well, let's dive right into it, Jake. The feeling this morning, even last night, probably driving home, and this morning in the last less than 24 hours over the Battle of Kansas, where little brother beats big brother.
Well, I don't think anyone should be shocked that Wichita State beat KU last night. No one should be. In fact, if it's a pick'em game and people are going, oh my goodness, I can't believe Wichita State beat KU, I mean, the experts had this as a pick'em game, so I don't think anyone should be shocked. I am surprised, however, how easily the second half was for Wichita State. When you shoot 60% from the field and hold your opponent to 37% from the field, that's a bit surprising considering it is a Wichita State and Wichita State did what they have done the last 3 years to KU. It's just surprising a bit that KU had no answer whatsoever for the game and for Wichita State. I do think, you know, the reaction from KU fans today is more so, you know, it's the second year in a row. We were a 2 seed. We don't make it out of the first weekend. You know, a lot of fans are upset with Wayne Selden and Kelly Oubre. And I think the biggest thing that I could explain and say about how the game worked was the play where Zach Brown ends up going well behind Kelly Oubre, steals the basketball near half court, goes in and dunks it. I mean, they just got out-hustled, out-worked, out everything, especially in the second half yesterday. And KU fans are a little bit stunned, and Wichita State fans are absolutely ecstatic. One, because they are going to the Sweet 16, but two, this is the game that they've wanted to play for 3 years, and they are on the happy end of it. So as the NCAA tournament does, one team is really, really happy, another one's very, very sad, and a little maybe a cherry on the top of the ice cream sundae for Wichita State as they knocked out KU.
Yeah, and you hit the play that I thought put the final nail in there, and that's the Zach Brown steal dunk. I mean, it still seemed to me that Wichita State had more fans there than Kansas, and maybe the yellow just stands out more. And I think it was an interesting point because a lot of people said, well, you know, the neutral people are going to root for Wichita State. It was in Omaha. Creighton fan doesn't like Wichita State. So I don't think neutral fan was rooting for Wichita State yesterday.
Yeah, I think it was split pretty evenly, and I do agree with you. The yellow seems to stand out a little bit, and of course, when your team is winning, you're going to be a little bit more louder because your team is winning. I think it was split pretty 50-50 when it comes to who was there, and it did seem like maybe there was more Shocker fans up in the upper level of the CenturyLink Center, but I thought it was pretty close when it comes to the split between KU, Wichita State fanwise, maybe a little bit more for Wichita State. And I'm with you. It's a neutral site. You know, Wisconsin fans probably could care less. Oregon fans the same way. And if you're just a general basketball fan, my guess is you probably are not going to be standing up cheering really loud for Wichita State or for KU.
Talk with Jake LeBond, WIBW. You can check out Sports Talk every afternoon with the gang down there in Topeka.
a lot was made, especially after the game, about Wichita State just flat out having more veteran players. And Kansas had been an inconsistent team. I mean, let's face it. How many times has Kansas won the Big 12 with as many losses in the conference as they had this year? Yet they were still that two seed. A lot of people thought Wichita State misseeded as a number 7. But how much did you think actual junior senior leadership was the difference in this?
I think it meant a lot. I mean, when you look at the guys that who play for Wichita State, Darius Carter, senior, Evan Wessel, redshirt junior in his fourth year, Fred Van Fleet is a junior, Baker, a redshirt junior, Tekel Cotton, a senior. I mean, they were tough, physical guys, and they've been through a Final Four. They've been through a 35-0 regular season. I think that did mean something, and the thing that kind of stood out to me is what Bill Self said on Saturday was, you know, about the experience, and he goes, well, don't forget, they're talented. I mean, you don't go to the Final Four, you don't go 35-0, and you don't go 29-4 without talent. But everybody wants talent, but everyone wants really experienced talent, and that's what Wichita State has. They've got talented guys on the team and also experienced guys, and, you know, a little bit of it is KU didn't make the adjustments in the second half. When, I mean, Fred Van Fleet, another one that I thought really epitomized the second half, he gets a pick at the top of the screen or at the top of the key and goes in for a wide open layup. I mean, no one near him. They just didn't make any adjustments. And some of that, I think, is on the coaching staff of KU, but I think the majority of it's on the players just not adjusting. And I think the experience and the toughness had a big factor in that game yesterday.
Talking NCAA tournament action from Omaha, Jake LeBond, WIBW here with us. I thought, and we talk about the spread and the seeds and all that, but let's face it, Kansas had to be, as many people would say, feeling as a favorite here. Wichita State, because of the little brother syndrome, had to feel as the underdog. And Kansas got off to that good lead, 8-point lead, able to maintain it. And as Ron Baker says, I think we were not taking the best shots. We were running what we were supposed to run, but we weren't taking the best shots in the first 10 minutes. Well, once they fall, all shots are good. I was a little surprised because I figured if Wichita State had to get off to a good start, they didn't. And I suppose that experience was one of the reasons they were able to come back. But the way the wheels fell off of Kansas, that 13-2 run was as important to end the first half as anything that happened in the second half.
Yeah, and I think I'm agreeing with you 100%. You know, Wichita State, because they're a veteran team, they weren't rattled being down 24-16 with 5 minutes to go. And I think some of that was jitters starting off with going, okay, it's Kansas, it's the name on the jersey. But once they settled down and, you know, they realized, hey, you know what, we're just not running our stuff. Let's get back to our stuff, which is a veteran move. And they relaxed and just did what they needed to do. And then so they counterpunched KU, go on that 13-2 run, take the lead at the half. And then in the start of the second half, I think KU got a little bit nervous and a little bit anxious and maybe forced some shots that they shouldn't have. And that's when you get a three from Van Fleet and that tip in by Baker. And all of a sudden, KU looks up at the scoreboard and it's 41-30. And there's 16 minutes to go in the game. That's when I think KU got a little bit, oh my, you know, kind of deer in the headlights type of look and said, oh my goodness, this is actually happening right now, where that's maybe the inexperience came out. And, you know, it always helps when Evan Wessel, who I thought was the player of the game, goes for 12 points, 9 rebounds. He goes 4-6 from behind the arc. But sometimes, you know, you got to have guys step up. And when you look at Wayne Selden, did not score. Kelly Oubre had 9 points. Landon Lucas had 2. When 3 of your 5 guys who start and played an average of 25 minutes score 11 points combined for 3 people, that's not going to get it done. So Wichita State guys stepped up, and KU guys just didn't get it done.
All right, Jake, Wichita State, as Coach Marshall mentioned, you know, the last 3 tournament games, Kentucky, Indiana, Kansas, it's hard to play a much more of a blue blood juggernaut than that. They'll have to go a while to find somebody like a Duke or somebody. There's you couldn't have played much better than that. And North Carolina on the other side there, I guess there's a possibility. But we all know that whoever plays Kentucky is going to be an underdog. But to get there and have that rematch from last year, they got to get by Notre Dame, who has looked vulnerable in their first 2 games. Early thoughts on that matchup?
The one thing that Wichita State, you're going to get what you're going to get. I mean, no one should be surprised that Tekel Cotton had 19 points because he's explosive. No one should be surprised Ron Baker, what Fred Van Fleet does. What you see is what you get with Wichita State. Notre Dame, I thought they got a little bit lucky against Butler. They hit some big threes. Now, they can shoot the basketball. No one's questioning their offense. They can flat out shoot it. But defensively, I think, is one thing that Notre Dame doesn't quite do as well as maybe other teams. And I think Wichita State, they're one of the top 10 defensive efficiency teams out there. You have to work to get your shots, as KU definitely found out. They didn't get anything easy against Wichita State. Notre Dame is going to have to work for their shots. And so I think Wichita State beats Notre Dame because Notre Dame is not, you know, vastly big. You know, they're similar styles of offense. Both teams like to shoot the three. I think Notre Dame doesn't play as good enough defense, and that's where I think Wichita State takes advantage of it. And I think Wichita State gets the win and kind of sets up a cool matchup between Kentucky, who I think will throttle West Virginia. It'll be Kentucky, Wichita State, and Wichita State will be on the other foot that they were last year with Kentucky trying to knock them off. So I think it should be a fun series up in Cleveland for a berth in the Final Four. But I think you're going to see Kentucky, Wichita State. I just think Wichita State right now playing with a lot of confidence, and defensively is where I think they slow down Notre Dame.
And what about Kansas? The future is what? They fall into that program that can have some one-and-dones. What's the future?
Yeah, that's one thing that's kind of interesting. This team, I think, is going to be really good next year. You look at, I think Kelly Oubre is gone. I'm on the side of, hey, look, if you're going to be a top 12 pick, I mean, that's guaranteed $1 million. I mean, how can you turn down $1 million? That's just my personal thought. So I think Kelly Oubre is going to be gone. The question will be Cliff Alexander. Of course, he didn't get to play the last 2 weeks of the regular season, whatever the NCAA figures of. My gut tells me that he's probably going to be gone, but it would not surprise me if he comes back. But when you look at what this team has, you know, if Lane Seldon can somehow turn into a consistent player, because there were times in the Big 12 tournament, Lane Seldon was really, really good. And during a 5-6 game stretch, he was really good this year. If Seldon can somehow become more consistent, I think Frank Mason is really good. I think you saw what Devontae Graham did yesterday. According to Bill Self, he said he was our best player. Yeah, I mean, Devontae Graham, 17 points. And then you throw in Perry Ellis, I think he will come back. You throw in Landon Lucas as well as some other guys off the bench. I think KU is going to be pretty darn good next year. I know they have one top 10 recruit already signed for next year. He's a swing four. So I think KU should be pretty darn good, considering when you look at the teams, what's going to come back next year? Kentucky's going to have half their team, if not three-fourths of their team, gone. Duke loses Okafor and probably Justice Winslow. Wisconsin loses a ton of their guys. Arizona's probably going to lose a ton of their guys. Who out of the big-name teams this year, outside of Virginia, who's a bunch of juniors, who else is going to have, you know, a lot of guys coming back? Well, KU will have possibly four of their five starters come back because I think Kelly Oubre leaves. I think Ellis comes back. So I think KU is going to be pretty darn good next year, especially to start the season.
From WIBW Sports Talk, Jake LeBond joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Last minute, Jake. First, Wichita State had to say the right things in the post-game press conference, even though the players at the podium, including some of the hometown boys, like Evan Wessel, said, yeah, this is a big deal, growing up in Wichita, being a Shocker, playing high school ball here, and on and on. How big is it really? I mean, are they partying still in Wichita?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, Greg Marshall says, hey, this was a game that was to go to the Sweet 16. He's saying that, you know, just as window dressing. This was a big deal. I mean, this was a huge deal, I think, for the Wichita team, because they wanted to go out and kind of, you know, to prove to everybody. I think this is a big deal because Ron Baker grew up watching KU. Evan Wessel, you know, grew up watching KU. Everybody watches KU when you're in the Sunflower State. So I do think this was a big deal. Greg Marshall didn't, you know, play out because he doesn't want it to seem like that. But I think any Wichita State fan will tell you that was a big deal. I think they're maybe underplaying it a little bit just to the national media, but I think everyone here in the state of Kansas knows that Wichita State definitely is enjoying this victory, maybe more so than they're letting on.
And Jake, we've just been pounding the Wichita State and Kansas matchup. There were other teams there in Omaha, so either basketball or just your time there. Anything else, any other stories, anything else catch your eye?
Love Frank the Tank, and I'm a big fan now of Nigel Hayes, who had some fun with the stenographer. I think that was absolutely hilarious because it shows some of these guys are not robots. You know, they get media training. Trust me, I went through media training when I was a college athlete. You go through media training to make sure you don't say the wrong things. But to step out and show maybe your personality a little bit, like Frank Kaminsky and Nigel Hayes, you know, saying, you know, I don't know if you saw that, but you know, said just random, long, tough, difficult words for the stenographer to type out. I thought that was a lot of fun. And then I thought Joseph Young for Oregon, my goodness, that guy, he is terrific. But I think Wisconsin is going to take on Kentucky in the Final Four, and that's going to be one heck of a matchup. Really impressed with Wisconsin.
All right, Jake, let's do it again, man. Keep up the good work and have fun talking basketball this afternoon.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.
Take care, Jake LeBon, Sports Talk, WIBW in Topeka, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, Dan Hoppin's going to join us. But how did the players react yesterday? Evan Wessel, he grew up in Wichita. He played on the same high school team as Kansas's Perry Ellis. Here's what he had to say after the ball game about getting the win.
Yeah, this definitely one of the biggest wins I've been a part of. Definitely hits home being a Wichita kid. Growing up Wichita State fan, my family went to Wichita State, and it's big for the community, and I'm just glad we got the win and ready to move on to Sweet 16.
And then Ron Baker, also a very, very big win, he says.
To me, this is probably one of the biggest wins I've been involved with, being a Shocker, just because we don't get the opportunity to play KU, and we're going to the Sweet 16, both tremendous achievements. Really, really proud of what we have accomplished and thankful that I'm a part of this wonderful group.
We're going to take a break. When we are back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Dan Hoppin.
A big Buffalo County Fair welcome to Alabama.
If you're going to play in Texas, you got to have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man.
Coming to the Buffalo County Fair on July 24th, the legendary Alabama. Alabama's 40-year career has produced 43 number one singles, including 21 number one hits in a row.
I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh,
Alabama's music continues to reach country fans of all generations. Tickets range from $40 to $75 plus fees. Get your tickets now at etix.com. That's ETIX.com. Alabama, Friday, July 24th at the Buffalo County Fair.
Are you being held hostage by today's propane prices? At three times the normal level, you need to call Anderson Brothers and fight back. Both air and water source heat pump designs are available from Carrier. Up to 75% of their energy is from the air and ground around your home. Energy that is both renewable and free to you. Let Carrier technology help you heat and cool your home. Turn to the experts at Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating. Call 308-236-6437 or 995-4481 today.
The Fellowship of Christian Athletes is proud to announce former Heisman Trophy winner and NFL quarterback Tim Tebow will be at FCA's Football and Faith Night Thursday, April 16th, 7:30 at the Heartland Event Center in Grand Island. Tim's excited to share his story of football and faith with special musical guest Voda. Tickets go on sale March 11th at 10 a.m. at the Heartland Event Center box office through Ticketmaster, online, or at 800-745-3000. FCA's Football and Faith Night with Tim Tebow. Find out more at NebraskaFCA.org.
At Big O Tires, we give you two ways to save big on your next set of tires. For a limited time, when you buy four Big O brand tires, you'll get your choice. Either save $100 instantly or buy four Big O tires and get a free all-wheel alignment and a five-quart oil change. It's up to you. Here at Big O Tires, we want to earn your business, giving you an instant $100 off or a free alignment and oil change. Tires service straight talk. We're Big O Tires, the team you trust.
Yeah. Yes, after a busy, event-filled weekend, time to just kick back, relax a little bit. Doug and Daddy's show here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast back booth. You can take a look at what's going on at your Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac. We know it's spring break for a lot of the schools, including the Kearney schools, so maybe you're looking for that school car. Well, they can take care of that. Midway clearing out their 2014 inventory and over 150 pre-owned vehicles in stock. They're sure to have the vehicle you're looking for at any price range. Now, there's great offers right now on the entire Buick lineup. Get 0% for 5 years plus $500 cash allowance on the new 2015 Buick Enclave with approved credit. Experience the new Buick as they clean out their 2014 inventory. 0% APR for 60 months on the new 2014 Verano and LaCrosse. Visit them now. South 2nd Avenue in Kearney or online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Midway Chevrolet Buick, GMC Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue, as we always know, right there and right here. Depending on where you are, of course, I'm here in Kearney. You may not be here in Kearney, but stop by and see him today at the Midway Auto Dealership. Pleased to be joined by Dan Hoplett of Husker Online here on the Doug and Daddy Show. A lot to talk about. Of course, Nebraska baseball, 10-game winning streak now with one of the coolest, I'm not going to say biggest, but one of the coolest non-conference weeks with Cal State Fullerton and Texas coming in. Of course, we got to look at his bracket as well with a name like Hoppin. Spring football is on spring break, but no spring break for you and the gang at Husker Online. Dan, hey, good morning.
Good morning, Doug. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, let's start with basketball. Obviously, you're watching as much of that as you possibly can. You probably got it DVR'd, and how's your bracket?
Oh, man. It is just blown up and scattered around in pieces all over Lincoln right now. It's not looking so good. Lost my first Final Four team yesterday when Northern Iowa went down, which that was kind of a shot in the dark anyway, to be honest. But decided to do something a little different this year. Decided I wasn't going to put any money on the bracket. Wasn't going to, you know, enter any like major pools or anything like that. And I was just going to enjoy the tournament for what it is. And I've found it to be a really, like, a much better experience when I'm not, you know, sweating out these games at the last second. I can just, you know, enjoy the amazingness that is March Madness.
Well, I can't exactly say that, but Virginia blew me up yesterday. That whole Iowa State thing, some other guys, that didn't hurt me. I liked the Northern Iowa picks. I thought maybe even a Louisville could come out of there. So, but maybe Tom Izzo or Oklahoma has it all set up. Quick thought on Nebraska basketball. Longest, one of the worst losing streaks in Nebraska history. Just your thoughts on covering the team and what we should expect going into next season. There's all these questions about who will be back, who won't be back, so I know that has a lot to do, but where do you think the program, as great as we were feeling last year, as bad as a lot of people are feeling right now?
I think the program's still in a very good place. I know that, you know, people are obviously down, and there's very good reason for that. Nebraska was probably, when you look at preseason expectations, they were one of the biggest underachieving teams, not only in the Big Ten, but in the entire country last year. Just looking at what they had coming back and the product that they put out on the floor. And I think if you ask those guys and if you ask Tim Miles, I don't think they would shy away from agreeing with that. At the same time, you know, I still think that there's plenty of promise. Obviously, it's kind of tough to forecast too much about this team and know the status on whether Tran Pettaway is going to return or not. As the team's leading scorer, you know, obviously, you know, his absence or him being around plays a huge part in what we can expect from Nebraska last season. I think he took way too much heat for Nebraska's struggles down the stretch. He certainly contributed to that, but I think there are a lot of other factors too. But, I mean, you look at the addition of Kansas guard Andrew White, who had to sit out this entire season after transferring. He gives Nebraska a knockdown shooter, which is something that they've sorely missed really the last 2 years, although Ray Gallegos kind of helped fill that hole last year. And then the recruiting class that Nebraska has coming in, you know, everybody knows about Glenn Watson and Ed Morrow, a couple of top 100 recruits, and those guys are definitely going to help out right away. But I think you look at Michael Jacobson and Jack McVay as a couple of forwards who could potentially come in and contribute as well. So, a lot still kind of has to be determined about how Nebraska is going to look next season based on what Terran Fedaway decides. But I still think, you know, if you would have, go back two seasons and tell Nebraska fans, hey, you know, one of these next two seasons, you're going to go 13-18. The other one, you're going to make the NCAA tournament, have this miracle run. I think all Husker fans probably would have taken that in a heartbeat and been very happy with the results. So I know, you know, it's disappointing right now. Fans obviously aren't happy with what just happened, but Tim Miles definitely has this thing moving in the right direction.
Dan Hoppen with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show from Husker Online. And, Dan, you guys have started a podcast with the entire crew there that people can download and listen to at Husker Online. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, we basically just kind of got together and said, you know, we put out all this written content, but let's put that in audio form so people can listen to it when they're driving in their cars, you know, when they're doing chores, you know, if they're just on the computer and want to listen instead of reading it. And, you know, we have all this information. We go on a lot of different radio shows and talk about stuff. Why not, you know, actually drive people to our site for that kind of information? So, yeah, we've been doing it for about 2 weeks now, putting out podcasts on Nebraska football, basketball, baseball, and recruiting. And quite honestly, it's been great, and I think all of us are kind of wondering why we didn't start doing it sooner. So, yeah, I mean, if anyone wants to check it out, they can go to our website. We're on iTunes now, or our podcast can be found at huskeronline.podbean.com.
See, we knew you guys loved radio. We knew it. It just took you a minute to come around, brother.
You can't say what.
Dan Hoppen with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The baseball team has won 10 in a row. They scrape a couple of, across against Indiana State, which is awesome, and then they play pretty darn well this weekend. What are you seeing from Big Red?
They're just playing very consistently right now, and I think the thing that's really got to be very encouraging for Darren Erstad and this group right now is that even on day, you know, you mentioned those Indiana State wins. Nebraska wasn't particularly impressive in either of those games, but they still found a way to win. And I think that's the important thing, because in baseball, both college and professional, you're not going to have, you know, your best stuff every single day. There are going to be days when your pitchers are a little bit off, or the lineup is sluggish, or you know, maybe the other pitcher just has it going and you can't collect any hits. And those are the days when it's so tough to win. Nebraska found a way to win a couple of those games this week, and that's big. I mean, you know, at the end of the season, you're probably not going to look back on a couple wins over, you know, Indiana State and Florida Gulf Coast and say that was when Nebraska's season turned around. But here's the deal. That's five more wins on Nebraska's resume at the end of the year. I mean, that can be the difference between, you know, 36, 37 wins and 41, 42. And all of a sudden you're talking about, you know, maybe being a two or three seed in a regional to a team that could be hosting a regional. So I know Darren Erstad, he puts a lot of importance on these non-conference games. Even the ones that, you know, maybe aren't necessarily the sexiest matchups. And, you know, all you could do is beat the teams that are on your schedule. Nebraska's won 10 in a row, and I think they're feeling about as good as they have as far as, you know, being this far into the season as they have at any point during their team or during their tenure under Darren Erstad.
Well, it gets a little sexy this week if the weather stays good, and it looks like it should. Maybe some rain in the forecast might mess some things up, but if they can get all five in this weekend, talk about what they've got ahead of them.
Well, yeah, a couple of college baseball powerhouses coming up this week. Cal State Fullerton, you know, Nebraska's played them a couple times over the past couple of years. They're not currently ranked right now, but obviously that's a team that we've seen in Omaha quite a few times over the past couple of years. They're a very talented squad, have a lot of history. And then I'm sure Nebraska fans, they all remember Texas. Texas is coming in this weekend for a nice little three-game set. They're currently ranked 14th in the country. So, yeah, this is a big week for Nebraska. I think this is kind of one of those measuring stick weeks where, you know, you get a chance to really play some of the nation's top competition and really see where you stack up. And, you know, like I was just saying, it's great that Nebraska kind of got these wins against, you know, Florida Gulf Coast and Indiana State and Michigan. but none of those teams are probably going to be playing in the postseason. You know, you're still not entirely sure how much those wins mean. If you go out and take some games from a Cal State Fullerton or from a Texas, I think that's kind of when you start to realize, hey, this team could start to accomplish something pretty big here.
Dan Hoppen, Husker Online, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk all things Husker. Quick observation, and it's because Taylor Fish obviously is from Kearney, but he has not seen a whole lot of work here, and Coach Erstad talks about getting as many guys in. He had a decent backup. I'm just saying, at the catcher position, it's tough for anybody, even if Tanner Lubach is great, to harness all of this. Are we just going to see Fish in midweek games? I kind of thought maybe with back-to-back afternoons, Fish might slide in there. Your thoughts?
I think Fish probably is going to be used mostly in a midweek role. He's played in four games so far, started three of them, and he's actually played pretty well. I mean, he's hit 4-for-9 on the year. He's done his job. He's only struck out once, I think. You know, he's actually played pretty well when he's been called upon. But, you know, the fact of the matter is Tanner Lubach, he's kind of one of the rocks of this team. I mean, he's a guy who pretty much every day is going to hit either third, fourth, or fifth in the lineup. And since starting the season 0-for-18, I mean, he was in a horrendous slump. Lubach, he's hit really, really well. He's probably Nebraska's best power hitter on the team. He's got two home runs. He handles the pitching staff very well, and he's a guy – who's proven to be very durable. I mean, you know, he can catch four or five games in a week, including, you know, 3 days in a row, and you don't really have to worry about him being sore or having any previous injuries or anything like that. So, you know, Taylor Fish is definitely a guy who, when he's gotten his opportunities, I think he's come up with some clutch hits. He's done some very nice things for Nebraska and proven that he can be a contributor to this team. I think that his lack of playing time doesn't really say so much about his abilities. I think it says a lot more just about how much this coaching staff trusts Tanner Lubach and how much they want him in there more than it says about Taylor Fish.
Just a couple minutes left here with Dan Hoppen of Husker Online. Dan, your observations on the pitching staff with Jake Hennessy obviously coming back yesterday, a quick comment there, but you're seeing Bergkamper, who got the start, do some good things. The back end seems to have filled in nicely so far.
Well, I think, you know, kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but Darren Erstad, you know, he was so excited about how his starting pitching performed this weekend because none of his guys, Chance Sinclair on Friday, Kyle Kubot Saturday, and then, as you mentioned, Derek Bergkamper on Sunday, really had their best stuff. I mean, Nebraska, a lot of hits this past weekend against Michigan. They had a lot of guys on base, had a lot of base runners, you know, didn't have a whole lot of clean innings, but they didn't give up a lot of runs. I mean, guys would get singles, you know, maybe even advance to scoring position, but it seemed like every time the Nebraska pitchers were able to wiggle free, and obviously, you know, you don't like putting guys on base, but the fact that Nebraska, you know, without having their starters really have their best stuff, was able to win all three of those games, I think Darren Erstad was really excited about that. And that starting rotation is really kind of starting to look kind of locked in. And then the bullpen, I mean, Nebraska's bullpen, I think, has been among, you know, easily the best in the Big Ten so far. It's been tremendous when you look at guys like Jeff Chestnut, Colton Howell. You mentioned Jake Hennessy just coming back off of a forearm strain. He looked excellent yesterday. Josh Rader's been great. And they've had a couple freshmen who have come in and kind of adjusted from being starters in high school to kind of adjusting that bullpen role and really being able to fill in and help. So Nebraska's pitching has definitely been the strength and kind of the backbone of this team so far.
Dan Hoppen, last baseball question. We'll get a quick football comment from you. Even with this 10-game winning streak, it looks like the next 2 weeks could potentially be pretty scary. And if Nebraska continues to win ball games, a kind of a stretch here that could really put expectations high, top 20 type baseball team. You got Cal State Fullerton, you got Texas, you got Creighton coming in to wrap this up that always wants to beat the Huskers. And then your next Big Ten road trip is out to Maryland, who is obviously very, very impressive. What's it going to take to not let the wheels come off here in the next 10 days?
Well, I think, you know, kind of what Nebraska's built over these last 10 games is huge, and that's just confidence. I think these guys really believe in themselves right now. You know, they're just gaining this valuable belief that I think has been there for the most part, you know, at times during Darren Erstad's tenure, but there have definitely been moments, I think, when this team kind of wondered, you know, okay, we're playing well, but do we really have it? I think this team is as close as he's had to a team that does, you know, think that it has that capability to come through in these big situations. And like you mentioned, this very well, you know, could be one of the biggest stretches of the season for Nebraska as far as the type of competition they're going to be playing. You know, kind of like I mentioned, this is where Nebraska finds out what it's made of and kind of how it measures up against some of these top teams in the country. Obviously, you know, we talked about Cal State Fullerton and Texas. Those are two very good teams. And Maryland, you know, that's probably a team at the end of the year that it's going to come down to them or Nebraska for the conference title. So if Nebraska is able to go up to Maryland and take two or three games, that would be absolutely huge in terms of trying to win the Big Ten regular season and grab that number one seed in the Big Ten tournament. So, yeah, I mean, everything looks pretty rosy around the Nebraska program right now. Anytime you win 10 games in a row, you're feeling pretty good. But I think in 2 weeks, you know, that feeling is going to be solidified and everyone's really going to be feeling good about this team, or people, you know, might be asking a little bit of questions about them. This is a huge stretch for Nebraska.
And finally, spring football. The kids now are on spring break, Dan. It's all the newness. Every time you get a new coach and some of the things that they do, and we went red, white, split to double practice for a while, it looks like things will settle down to some normalcy when they come back on Monday. But what has been unique or stood out to you in the first 2 weeks of spring ball?
I think one of the biggest things that stood out is just how Mike Riley handles the team. I mean, he's more of a CEO type of coach, more of like the overseer role. He trusts the assistants that he's hired to do their jobs, and he doesn't really, you know, put his hand in there too much. He kind of lets them handle everything, and I like that about him. I mean, there are stretches during some of these practices that we get to watch where you'll go half an hour, and, you know, you look around the field, and you don't even notice Mike Riley. You know, he's just kind of wandering around. He's observing everything, which I think is important because he needs to try and see as many of these guys as he can and make some internal evaluations on them. But that's not to say that Mike Riley is not, you know, a big figure in practice. You can see him talking to different players, especially the quarterbacks. I think in the last practice we got to watch last Wednesday, you know, it got a little testy. There's a little pushing and shoving, a couple, you know, many scuffles, and he brought the whole team together and he talked to them for a couple minutes and basically just said, "Hey guys, I love the fire. You know, I love you guys' competitiveness. I love the fight, but we can't be actually fighting here. You know, you got to calm down a little bit. This is the kind of stuff that'll hurt us and get us penalties in games." And you didn't have any problems for the rest of practice. So I think that this team right now really likes Coach Riley. I think that they respect him. And I think, you know, right now he's just trying to make his evaluations and he's not trying to be heavy-handed or control everything. And that's a little bit of a different thing than we've seen the last couple of years under the previous coaching staff.
Well, we covered a lot of ground here with Dan Hoppe joining us here from Husker Online here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, Dan, thanks for joining us this morning. And enjoy what should be a great week of baseball, all right?
Oh, I definitely will. Thanks a lot, Doug.
Dan Hoppe, Husker Online, covering it all. Always appreciated, man. A couple of other sports notes before we roll out of here. And boy, I mean, what do you think Nebraska baseball can do? You want to beat the tar out of Texas, get a split with Cal State Fullerton, beat Creighton, roll Omaha, go to Maryland, get two or three. I mean, that's a lot to ask. So that's 5, 6, 7. You got 10 games. Can Nebraska go, I mean, 7-3, can they do it? Split with Cal State, 2-1 against Texas, maybe 1-2, and maybe 2-1 against Maryland, and then take care of Creighton and UNO. That'd be the kind of streak that might get you rated. We'll see what happens with the Big Red. UNK junior forward Connor Baronic named All-District by the Basketball Coaches Association, the only MIAA player to be named to the All-Central Region and All-District. All-American teams will be announced tomorrow, so we'll see how that goes. Tri-City Storm continues to win, getting two more victories over the weekend as they sweep Des Moines. They continue to lead the USHL's Western Conference, but only by a point. They've got 74 points, and they're a couple back at Youngstown for the overall lead. Six games to go. Two at home this weekend against Fargo. So best of luck there. And anything else, the Rick Kaczynski thing is the Rick Kaczynski thing. If you want to know about it, you know. Third degree assault yesterday, whatever. I mean, you know, what can you say? There's the story, and obviously something crazy happening at the house. So whatever, that's one of those things that makes the sports news, and too much of that anymore making the news. And, of course, if you've been watching ESPN at all, the Darren Sharper thing has just been he's going to jail for 9 years. Crazy deal. Hastings and UNK also had successful weekends on the diamond. We told you the softball team for the Huskers swept Michigan State. For Hastings baseball, 6-2 down in Arizona. They beat Dickinson State in the final two, 19-6 and 8-2. They will be at Kansas Wesleyan Wednesday, and then we'll host Morningside and Briarcliff to open conference play this weekend. Softball team open conference play sweeping Dakota Wesleyan. They'll be at Dorth this Saturday. UNK got the bats going after game one. They lost to Pittsburgh State Friday and then won the final three, including 19-7 yesterday. They go to Lincoln University this weekend, and the UNK softball team went 3-1 as they beat Lincoln University, and they will host Colorado Christian Tuesday and Wednesday. They are also home this weekend, and Joey Richards of UNK just been named the Conference Tennis Athlete of the Week. So that is what we have for you in a day of sports that was filled by more talk from the NCAA basketball tournament, and we will have more tomorrow. Ravenna boys basketball coach Paul Baronic set to join us. We're also scheduled to track down Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City to talk about what's been going on in Big 12 basketball, not just Kansas, but what else is going on out there with their performance here in the NCAA tournament, and maybe a little look at West Virginia, who is flying the banner along with Oklahoma. Later on in the week, we will be at Bandits on Thursday over in Grand Island with some special guests, including Steve Anderson from Fauner Park. We do want to thank our guests today, Dan Hoppin of Husker Online, Jake LeBond from Sports Talk WIBW down in Topeka. And hey, check out how you're doing in the Bud Light Bracket Challenge. All the results are up at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug Goodett saying thanks for joining us on a Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
ESPN Superstation. Sports Center.
Good afternoon, Omar.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Mike Will, a SportsCenter update on ESPN. Des Moines Pearson, L of Nebraska, is one of three special